Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Biblical Woman Podcast. I'm Kat.
And I'm Nicole. We are so glad to have you back with us. And it feels like it's been a minute since just the two of us have recorded. So I'm just excited for today's episode. And we have a great and very personally convicting topic, the topic of perfectionism. And, you know, sometimes we just do topics that Kat and I honestly struggle with. And so we just make it part of the show because we know that if there's things that we struggle with, like, we are not the only ones. We know that a lot of people struggle with perfectionism. And so we just thought, okay, let's just do an episode.
Yes, this is definitely like one of those episodes that like God has given us where you're like, ah, this hurts a little bit. It's very convicting and sanctifying. And doing the research, I'm like, oh, this is very much for me as much as anyone else.
Yes. Yes. Agree. So we're going to tackle this topic of dealing with perfectionism as a Christian.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's super pervasive in our culture because when we look around us, the world tells us like perfectionism is this great thing. It's this good thing. And, you know, if you're not doing it, then maybe you're just a lazy person with no goals. And what's really been interesting, you know, really diving into scripture and biblical counseling is that those are not biblical attitudes. Those are not healthy attitudes. So with perfectionism, there's a couple of questions that you can ask to see if you are struggling with perfectionism. These come from the Counseling and Psychological Services Department of Brown University. So, question number one, do you feel like what you accomplish is never quite good enough? And then question two, do you often put off turning in papers or projects because you want to get them just right? And then the final question is, you know, do you feel like you have to give more than 100% on everything you do, or else you will be or feel like a failure?
Those are good questions. Those are great questions to ask. And whoo, yeah, those were only three, but those were good ones.
Yeah, I'm like, yep, check. Yep, this is me. But when we talk about perfectionism, you know, we have to realize that it refers to a set of self-defeating thoughts and behaviors that are aimed at, you know, reaching excessively high, unrealistic goals for ourselves.
Right. And it just leads to so much anxiety, as we will talk about.
And with perfectionism, you know, I think we need to look at some different causes, you know, what causes this in ourselves. And there's a lot of different things. And so it can be very hard to narrow it down to just one, because it could be a multitude of things. And so first, you know, we need to acknowledge any unresolved hurt from the past that could be linked to family or cultural or even societal pressures.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot that goes into this as far as our experiences in life, the messages that we've heard from other people, as well as personality factors. So there definitely is a lot that goes into it. And I think sometimes it's like, perfection is about what it can do for us. You know, like our perfectionism helps us feel like we have control, or helps us feel like we have approval or acceptance from other people. I think there's a lot to look at with this.
Absolutely. Add in, like you said, it's maybe an identity or a self-worth thing as well. And sometimes it can even be a pride thing. Not all the time, but there can definitely be a pride aspect to it as well.
Yeah, of course. So when I was coming across this a lot, actually, with my clients, for those of you who don't know, I'm a therapist, and this was a while ago. It just seems like every other day, this was kind of the topic that kept coming up, was just this perfectionism. And so I just kind of got to the point where I'm like, okay, I need to like write a blog post about this. So I did. And that is called Chasing Perfection. And you could find that on my blog at NicoleByram.com. And yeah, I go into more detail about some of those things that Kat and I just mentioned. But yeah, if you have a moment, please, I would love for you to check that out.
Yeah, that is awesome that, like, as a Christian therapist, you can sit down and talk with people and, you know, create resources that can help them with these problems. And perfectionism is a problem because our society, you know, they tend to present it and talk about it, you know, as if it's this good thing, but they don't acknowledge the pain and the negative cycles that it can trap people in, like you said, with anxiety. Because perfectionism, it never lasts. It can trap us in that cycle, leaving us anxious or depressed, because no one is powerful enough to be perfect at something all the time.
Oh, correct. And that is an absolutely unrealistic expectation. You know, are we going to sometimes get our goals? Yes. And like we said, you know, we want to strive to be our, you know, to do our best at the things that we are called to do in this life, but expecting to do it all perfectly every single time is completely unrealistic and unhealthy.
Oh yeah. And it when we do that, it robs us of our peace. With perfectionism, it can cause us to create or to feel like the relationships in our life are performance-based. It can, you know, really blind us to the genuine love and acceptance of our friends and family.
Yeah. And I think sometimes there, you know, that belief comes from somewhere, whether that's just our, within our own self, our own observations, maybe it was more direct, you know, maybe you did have people in your life really say to you, hey, I am only going to accept you if you do X, Y, and Z, you know, maybe that's been your experience. But yeah, for whatever reason, there are definitely these, you know, messages that we accept as truth that I have to be a certain way or achieve certain things in order to be loved and accepted.
Yeah. And that creates problems with how we view ourselves and our worth, because perfectionism, it does lie to us about our worth. It causes us to view it in such a negative way that we begin to search for our value in these external standards. And we begin to, you know, attach our self-esteem to our performance.
Oh yeah. Yep. Big time. I'm glad that we took that time to just really point out the trap and the problems with having this thought that we need to be perfect and do things perfectly in life.
Yeah. I mean, because it does, it traps you in a very negative place, a very negative cycle. But let's turn to scripture and see what the Bible has to say about this topic. So, and the first verse that really comes to my mind is Matthew 11:28, where Jesus is talking about, you know, his load being easy and light. You know, he is our rest and our comfort and our peace. And we have to surrender our control to Jesus. So if your perfectionism is stemming from a place of control, you know, that might be a very good Bible verse for you to focus and meditate on.
That's good. I like that one. And Psalm 139:14 says, I will give thanks to you because I am awesomely and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works and my soul knows it very well. I think that's a fantastic reminder for us. Just to go back to that verse and remind ourselves that we are fearfully and wonderfully made.
I think it's a really good verse for, you know, if your perfectionism is stemming from a place of low self-worth and misplaced identity. I think that that's a really great verse. And then I would also add 1 Peter 2:9 and remind us that, you know, God has chosen us. He pulled us out of the darkness. And, you know, now we proclaim his excellencies. Both of these verses, Psalm 139:14 and 1 Peter 2:9, are great verses, I think, for the self-worth and identity portion.
I love 1 Peter 2:9. It is one of my favorite Bible verses. I want to read that first part. It says that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Man, if that doesn't fire you up, like, I don't know what will. Like, every time I read that, it just, like, yes, you know, it says nothing in there about, you know, because you're perfect or because you do this well or because you write well or you speak well or whatever. It's no, he has called us and we believe in Christ and in his name. And because of that, that's who we are. We are chosen, royal, holy nation.
Yes, like that is such a really cool verse. I love it. So definitely meditate and pray on, you know, either of these verses if, you know, you feel like your perfectionism is stemming from the self-worth or identity portion. I don't know about you, Nicole, but I'm like such a practical person. So like, I enjoy things that are like steps or directions. Maybe yeah. That's my type A coming out in me.
No, I like both. I both are necessary. And, you know, we always try to do both on this show because I think we also both really like the theology and the, you know, I don't want to say philosophical, but, you know, just the more like the thinking of the principles and the biblical explanation of things. I know we both love that, but you're right. We need to also focus on, okay, so we've talked about all of this. What is the practical application of this in our life?
Yes. Like I love the how-to portions that we do in this episode, because applying our biblical knowledge is so important. So we've got 7 things that you could try to help you in this journey with perfectionism. So the first step or tip is to recognize that, you know, battling perfectionism is not a simple thing. It's, you know, not a one and done checklist kind of thing. It is the intentional choosing to cling to God's grace and goodness every day.
Yeah. And I think this is such a powerful reminder when we go back to those verses, like the ones that we just mentioned, to remind us who we are in Christ and that our righteousness is in Him.
Yes. And prayer is one of the best tools in this process, prayer and reading scripture.
Absolutely. That's like the answer for everything in life, I feel
like. Yeah, for real. There you go.
Yeah. So, and of course, applies for this topic too. And the more that we are meditating on scripture and that we're talking to God in prayer, being honest with Him that we're struggling with perfectionism, mm-hmm. like that's the best thing that we can do is to go to Him.
You know, that can lead us into step number 2, which is recognize when you're having these bad thought patterns. You know, train your mind to catch those perfectionist thoughts and try to replace them with, you know, healthy ones, with biblical ones.
Yes. So one of the ways I talk about this with my clients is the black and white thinking, or the all or nothing thinking, I should say. We have this tendency, especially if you're perfectionistic in nature, to think like I have to do everything perfect or everything right. And if I don't, then I'm a complete failure. You know, it's like there's no room for gray in that kind of thinking. That's just not accurate. Like those thoughts really, truly are not accurate if you examine them. So I'll just kind of throw that out there. Be careful, beware of that all or nothing thinking.
That's a really good example, because we have to give ourselves permission to fail, because like we said earlier, you know, no one has the power to be perfect at even one thing all the time. We have to give ourselves permission to fail, and we have to have this growth mindset rather than the fixed mindset that you talked about, that black and white thinking. And we have to embrace these moments as opportunities for us to learn and grow.
Yeah. And I think this is where it becomes linked to pride, because this is where I struggle. I'm going to tell you all, I like to be good at things. And not only that, I want to be good at them right away. Like, I just want to naturally be good. I just want to pick it up quick. I just want to not have to have anybody tell me how to do it. I just want to know how to do it right away. And maybe some things in life come naturally to some people like that, but by and large, like, nope, we are going to have to learn anything, whether it's a skill for our job or for a hobby or anything. Like, it is a process. And to think that we are just, that we should just get it right away all the time, like, that really is prideful.
A lot of people, you know, feel that way too. I mean, none of us want to be the beginner, you know, the newbie, the new guy, new girl, and like have to learn and figure this out. But you're right. Like, we have to acknowledge that portion in us. Like, nobody starts out perfect. Like, in whatever it is, it takes time to cultivate that skill set within us.
Yeah. I remember one of the things that one of my supervisors, like my professor and supervisor when I was in grad school, you know, she said something really wise. And she was like, you know, because we're just new therapists, we're like learning how to do it. You know, there's a lot of self-consciousness, there's a lot of doubt and insecurity and just, you know, all of those things. And she reminded us that professional football players who make millions of dollars doing football, what are they doing Sunday after a Sunday game? They are watching film. They are learning. They are figuring out how to be better. And so it's like, it was just kind of made the point, like, okay, it doesn't matter if you are at the top of your game, the most elite in your profession or whatever, like you are always going to be learning and refining, and because you're not going to ever be completely perfect at it, you know? And that was really refreshing at the time. And even now I still think about that.
Well, that's such a real world example, such an applicable example, because you're right. Like they are learning, they are trying to still become the best, even though you or I might look at them and be like, oh yeah, they're the best, you know, they're pros.
Right.
But they're still working for that. And that's awesome. That's a good example.
Yeah. So that's just, yeah. Growth mindset is hugely important.
Well, and then the next one, I think that this is kind of where I struggle, and that is to speak kindly to yourself. We all have an inner critic, and our inner critic can be really harsh and it can be really brutal. Speaks to us in ways that, you know, we would never speak to other people. You know, we would never tear our friends or our family down with this, you know, nasty, like vicious inner commentary that we have, but yet we do it to ourselves.
Yeah. And so one of my favorite sentences or favorite things to say to people with this is, okay, well, first of all, let's rephrase that. You know, if we're inwardly thinking like, oh, I'm such an idiot, or, you know, things like that, like, let's try to reframe that. First of all, use different words with ourselves. But I think also part of having that growth mindset is to, I tell people, okay, finish the sentence, you know, don't just stop with, well, I screwed that up, or man, I really should have done that better. You know, that's like a lot of times where we put the period, when actually, nope, let's like edit, let's cross out that period and continue the sentence. Like, okay, I messed that up, but now I know what to do different next time. You know, like we can extend
the sentence,
you know, to like that, you're putting the period too early. You know, like, yes, I made a mistake and this is how I will correct it, or this is what I've learned from it. And I think if we can do that, if we can finish the sentence, that is hugely helpful for how we speak to ourselves, and it just is more accurate.
I love that. Like moving the period, finishing the sentence, and finding the positive and finding the growth. I absolutely love that, because I feel like that can lead into step number four, or tip number four, which is to set realistic expectations for ourselves.
Yeah. Checking that pride. You know, I am all about having good, you know, high goals for yourself. I think that is important, that we are, you know, motivated and we have things that we want to accomplish. But, you know, at the same time, sometimes we do have to reel that in and maybe take it baby steps, you know, with our goals.
Yes. And I think with this one, this might just be the chapter of life that I'm in, but I'm in the motherhood, the early stages of motherhood, you know, with 2 under 2, soon to be 3 under 3. But I've had to really, even on social media, watch like what I'm consuming, because it's like, you know, you follow all of these parenting Pinterest boards, or people on Instagram or blogs. And it's like, okay, that's their parenting style. That might not be applicable for me. My life and situation's a little bit different than theirs. So it's trying to unfollow these things and help myself set more realistic expectations for myself and how I mother my children.
Yeah. Watching the word should, you know, when we start thinking, oh, I should do this or I shouldn't do that, that's usually an indication like that, that is going to end in feeling guilty or inadequate or stressed or something like that. I think maybe a better word to replace should is I would like to, you know, and then you can kind of finish from there. But yeah, when we say should, it's like there is that we're putting an expectation that might be an unrealistic one on ourselves.
Oh, that's good. This episode is just as much for me as anybody else. So I'm like, I'm loving it. So tip number five is experimenting with your standards. So this could be choosing an activity, but instead of aiming for that, you know, 100%, shoot to only do like 80 or 75. Like, oh no. But for all of the perfectionists that just gasped when we said that, you know, this can help us realize two things. That one, the world is not going to end when we're not perfect. And two, that good things can come from, and failure in quotation marks, or, you know, not giving it 110%, like good things can come from doing an activity or a project at 80%.
Oh, that's so good. And that first part, choose an activity and don't do it 100%. I literally told my client to do this. This was so long ago. This was when we lived in Lafayette. So that's how long ago it was. But she was really struggling with perfectionism. And I gave her her homework assignment for the week. I was like, okay, I want you to do, pick one thing this week and intentionally don't do it perfect.
It's so hard.
Just like looking at me, I'm like, just one thing, I don't care what it is. And so she came back the next time and she was like, you know, she's like, I did what you said. She's like, I didn't intend to at first, but I ended up doing it. She said she was trying to roll out a pizza crust, you know, and she could, like, that's hard to do, to get it like a perfect circle, you know, or whatever. Like,
yeah,
take some skill. And she's like, so I was just like rolling this pizza crust out and I couldn't get it. And then it just kind of dawned on me, like, oh, this can be my thing. And it's okay, because Nicole told me to do this, you know. It was just really freeing. So yeah, so there's a real life example of how that can work. And I think for the second one, you know, good things can come from our, and I love how you put in the notes, our quote failure, because we have to remember too that, you know, God is glorified in our weakness, you know, because when we are weak, then he is strong. And sometimes things that we think might be failures really aren't. I'll give you one more quick example of this. So this was a recent one just in the last couple of weeks. I had given a client an assignment to do. And it was kind of like an out there one. I'm like, hey, you know, this might seem out there, but just try it. Tell me what you think. So he came back the next week and I asked him, you know, if he did the thing. And he was like, no, I thought about it, but I didn't. And then he told me his reason for why he didn't do the thing that I told him to do. And it was like amazing. It was like, it turned out even better, you know, but it was like, so it's like, I could have seen that as a failure. Like, oh, my idea was a bust, but really it wasn't, because it's like, my failure idea was needed, because then that actually led to something better, if that makes any sense. So that is going to be glorified even in our perceived failures.
Yeah. And that's a really good thing for us to remind ourselves of just every day. Tip number six is to switch roles. Going back to that harsh inner critic that we have, you know, trading that out for an inner cheerleader, celebrating all of the blessings, the peace, and the love, and just the freedom that God has given you. Reflect and celebrate on the growth in your life, the spiritual, the mental, the emotional, you know, whether it's big or small. Celebrate these victories, because growth is not a small thing.
Right. No, I think it's hugely important that we recognize that. And also when we do that, that's giving praise and glory to God.
Yes, we're cultivating that spirit of thanksgiving in our heart, because every good gift is from God. And even the ones we possess in the smallest degrees are from him. And we need to thank him and glorify him for these things. And then tip number seven, I feel like we say this every episode, but that's because it is so true and it is so helpful. And that is to confide in an accountability partner. Talking with a trusted friend, a trusted spiritual mentor, and letting them know, like, you're battling this, and they can be that person who can encourage and support you, even maybe hold you accountable if they need to.
Yeah, that's really good. There's freedom when we are able to confide in other people and to just share our struggles with one another. That's what we're called to do. We're called to bear burdens with one another. So, and to bear each other's burdens.
We got to lean into them, you know, lean on me, you know? Right? I am so glad we were able to talk about perfectionism and, you know, talk about what the Bible has to say about it, talk about the negative cycles that it can trap us in, but then also talk about some practical tips that people can try, including ourselves, as we wrestle with perfectionism, because it is very prevalent in our society. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. Stay tuned. Next week, we're going to be talking about, you know, how to have how to talk to your kids about sex from a biblical perspective. So I'm super excited about this episode because it's going to be good.
Yes. Yes. Oh, it was just a great topic and we're just so excited to share it with you guys.
It's definitely got some shocking things. Like we talked about some really good things, some really heavy things. And I did smile and laugh most of the time, like my cheeks hurt after recording, but we did talk about some really great things that could be helpful for a lot of parents.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of helpful for parents and for kids too, just a plug real quick for the workbook that I created with my 10-year-old, Hottie to Humble, H2H, the workbook. You can find that on Amazon. I just lowered the price too. It's now $9.99, but it's a 12-lesson workbook on attitude and how to develop humility. Check that out. If you haven't already, I would love it if you guys would subscribe to my blog at NicoleByram.com. I'm almost done with it, guys. I'm writing an Easter series. And so that will be up the week of Easter. I'm writing 4 different posts that will be posted Tuesday through Friday, the week of Easter. And they've been just a joy to write. And I'm just excited to share them. So subscribe to the blog so you don't miss out.
Yeah, it's going to be a good series because I do get to read some things that Nicole sends me before she posts them. So they are really good. So definitely check them out. And I think we should close out today with Psalm 139:14. And it says, I praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well.